Welcome to ProofCap. I'm Mike Straka, joined now by Bennett Tessera. He's head of Asia for Pramerica Real Estate Investors. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike.
Explain to me the platform that you guys have out there in Asia.
We're one of the largest real estate investment managers in Asia. We've been there for more than 20 years, starting in 1994, initially with an office in Singapore, and then expanding across the region. We're now also based in Tokyo, Seoul, Hong Kong, and Sydney.
Now, the region is vast, as you know. You've been there since 94. What sort of opportunities do you see right now, specifically in China?
You know, we see lots of opportunities in Asia, and mainly because, you know, Asia is at various points of the market, you know, in terms of the cities where they are. China is interesting because we've seen a lot of regulatory pressure in the markets that have cooled it down. Mm-hmm. We see, you know, certainly a lot of supply issues in various cities, more so in the second and third tier cities. And all these have caused a lot of headwinds in the market. Over time, we do see a lot of potential in the longer term because of the growth of the markets, the large urbanization, large population, and a huge growth in domestic businesses and companies, which we feel in the longer term will create lots of opportunity. So the combination of headwinds and longer term growth, we feel over the next 6 to 12 months will create some good buying opportunities in China.
What does Australia look like these days?
Australia continues to be very interesting for us. Across Asia, we saw a very strong recovery post the global financial crisis, largely led by Southeast Asia and China. Australia and Japan were the laggards in that recovery. And hence, you know, the opportunities in Australia are still in the growth phase. Mm-hmm. We see, you know, strong potential for good quality assets in Australia with good lease covenants, continuing to see rental growth, and attractive yields, you know, relatively to, you know, assets globally. So Australia offers good quality assets, you know, with good yields and attractive spreads against debt.
Now, we're talking about the fundamentals of core. And do you see that there's different regions in Asia have better credit applicants and better people, that better renters?
I would say probably Australia has the best lease covenants. Mm-hmm. So more familiar to what you would find in, say, you know, London or in the U.S., major cities, where you've got, you know, long-term tenants, long-term leases, quite different than the rest of Asia.
Now, we talk about food groups in real estate, you know, retail and multifamily and residential, workforce family housing, things like that. What are some of the best food groups out there in Asia right now when we're talking core properties?
Well, for us, we actually find retail as being one of the most attractive sectors, particularly retail, which is targeted at local consumers, so suburban malls in very strong, you know, neighborhoods with good catchment. And the reason for this is really driven on consumption. You know, we find very strong growth in consumption across Asia because of, you know, population growth, the very attractive demographics, you know, in terms of a younger population, growing household formation, growing affluence, and this leads to a lot of demand for product. Mm-hmm. Right? Product, whether it's, you know, residential, but certainly a lot in terms of shopping, right? And so with the suburban malls, you find these assets are very resilient because, you know, it is really based a lot on necessity shopping, targeted at local consumer, and so it's able to ride through different, you know, cycles, economic cycles, because of the nature of the consumer and the product that it caters to.
Why would you suggest people diversify with real estate?
Well, firstly, it's pretty much something everyone needs, right? You need a shopping center, you need a home, you need an office to go to, right? It's real, it's there, it's tangible. And in general, what we found is real estate does provide a good, you know, risk-adjusted return and inflation hedge. So, you know, for a lot of investors, and particularly the experience in Asia, a lot of wealth has been created in real estate, and a lot of preservation of wealth is achieved through real estate. And hence, you know, it's a sector that is very attractive to both international, local, institutional, and domestic consumers.
When you're thinking about certain points of cycles, you say that the cities in Asia are all at different points in cycles. Do you see long-term hold being part of your advice to clients, or do you think let's go in as a secondary where all those upfront fees are already taken care of, so that less risk? How do you de-risk, you know, your investments, and then again, do you suggest long term or short term?
I think in Asia it offers both long term and short term opportunities. In general, you know, based on the long-term fundamentals, you know, we advocate a long-term hold, particularly for core assets. With apart from that, you know, because of the volatility, the growth in the markets that kind of gives some volatility to the markets, it does create opportunities for short-term, you know, either build and sell or, you know, buy, fix, achieve, you know, the enhanced return and then exit, or, you know, buy through a cycle and sell it, you know, the upcycle. So Asia does offer both opportunities.
Are there cultural things that investors need to understand about the Asian market that they don't really necessarily have to understand when you talk about Western markets?
Yeah, I think Asia is, you know, you could say it's a complex market. Even across Asia, there are different cultures, you know, from Japan, China, Southeast Asia, Australia. Very different markets, different cultures. Australia probably the closest to Europe and the US markets. But relationships are important. In general, we find that, you know, you can't go and discuss a deal and be totally matter of fact about it, because often you need to build a relationship first, you know, in order to progress a deal or even an opportunity. And so understanding that local culture is very important. So for us, we find in order to be successful, you need to have that local presence on the ground. You need to have people that are, you know, either local or have a great understanding of the local culture. And that gives you a competitive advantage. And hence, you know, we have built out the platform across the region, you know, from, you know, Singapore to, you know, various cities across the region, in order to have that local presence, local feel, and build those local relationships. And we feel that gives us a competitive advantage.
Now, you have one of the largest investment firms in the world for real estate. How important is it to have, as you said, local assets, boots on the ground, so to speak, where you've got people doing due diligence right there and meeting the managers, meeting the general managers, meeting the developers? How important is that to your platform?
I think it's extremely important, you know, for the reasons I mentioned from an understanding cultures point of view. But also, particularly in developing cities, you know, the environment changes a lot. So, you know, understanding what works in terms of a particular property, you know, even one that's across the street could have a very different outcome. So understanding the local dynamics of what works, understanding, you know, where the growth opportunities are, also understanding what's happening in the regulatory environment, you know, because that also changes a lot. And, you know, these are risk factors in Asia, but if you're on the ground, if you know what's going on and you have your finger on the pulse, you can navigate that risk quite well.
Now, in terms of greenfield properties, developing new core assets, is that part of your strategy, or would you rather acquire core or build up existing opportunistic infrastructure?
Yeah. I think we would do both. We would buy core properties as well as develop them. And the reason for going into development really is, you know, as I said, the long-term opportunity in Asia is really about the growth in core real estate. So new assets that will come to the market, and progressively better quality assets that come to the market. So one way to participate in that is to really come in at the development stage. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, also coming to assets at the development stage can give you, you know, better entry price, you know, because you're taking on, you know, so additional a little bit more risk, but, you know, at the same time, you know, getting into a new and better quality property. So we'd do both.
Now, as part of your platform, do you growth equity, where you just say, okay, here's some capital and you guys manage?
Well, we feel in Asia, execution is key. It's not enough to have a good read of the market, you know, or being able to pick an asset, you know, well. Execution is key. In many cases, the level of asset management execution in the Asian markets is fairly weak. And so by us being able to add value, you know, whether it's even to development partners or joint venture partners in terms of bringing in quality standards, bringing in a much more developed approach into real estate asset management, I think that adds a lot of value. And hence, you know, it both creates value at the asset level as well as with, you know, partners that we work with.
So in general, from a 50,000-foot view, emerging markets have not had a very good last 2 years. Particularly, Latin America has been pretty bad, and you know there's some disruption in Asia as well. How is the Asian market, in your point of view, right today in this current cycle?
Well, we think Asia is going through a transitional process. It's had many years of strong growth, and you know, obviously, we think it's actually good that there is some element of correction or headwinds in the market, because it does create opportunities. It does bring values to a much more rational level. What we feel quite confident about Asia is, you know, really the long-term growth story, and the fact that many countries in Asia do have strong balance sheets. You know, they've gone through a lot of both economic and financial restructuring, regulatory reforms, and they're much better situation than where things were 10 years ago. And that's part of the reason why, when you know, we had the global financial crisis, you know, sure, Asia was impacted as well, but Asia was able to recover much more quickly because the banking systems were in better shape, the fiscal reserves nationally were, you know, much stronger, and the regulatory control that many of the local governments had was allowed them to be able to implement stimulus measures to reflate economies, and they did that very well, and you know, some would argue maybe too well, that we had an excessively strong recovery coming out of the crisis.